The following program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. The views depicted in this material are for informational purposes only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial. They should not be considered specific advice or recommendations for any individual. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in the commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision.
Welcome to the show.
In 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Your Financial Future. My name is Doug Chapman. My partner's Mike Bonaccorso. What's going on there, Michael?
Not much, Doug. I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, it's we're at the end of September, dude.
September just shot. I mean, it feels like I say this every month.
Right, so I know.
People are probably sick of hearing me, but September went by.
End of the third quarter.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so hard to believe.
It really, really is. You know, it's and we're going to, next thing you know, we're going to start to get earnings coming out, and then the holidays are going to be here, and next thing you know, it's going to be 2025.
Yep.
Not that I'm sure. I am not rushing it along.
It's just time marches by. Whoever said that was a genius.
Yeah, you know, and it's something. It just feels like, to your point, you know, as it's just whipping by, and I just don't know what maybe it's because life is so fast-paced now.
Yeah, things have changed. You're right. That's a great point. I mean, just how we're all living, how everything's done in the world, it's true. It's like everything's next. We're on to the next event.
Yeah, you know, everything just moves so fast, and, you know, you think back, and I mean, we're kind of dating ourselves when we say this, but you think back, and I know a lot of people listening to the show right now can identify. It was the 6 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock news.
Yeah.
Right? Now, there's almost no reason to watch the 6 o'clock news or the 11 o'clock news because you get an update on your phone every time anything happens.
Yeah, true. True, all true.
You know, and that's what causes things to move at the speed of light.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just going by quick, and, you know, it's hard to believe that the first month of school's over for my kids. Excuse me. And, you know, it's just where we are. But September's going to go down as as an interesting month, in my opinion, for the economy and for the markets. What about you?
Yeah, go ahead. Why are you feeling that way?
Well, I think that, you know, we saw some market volatility in here. We saw the Federal Reserve make a big interest rate cut, one that we haven't seen we haven't gotten an interest rate cut since before the pandemic. We only had interest rate increases. And that's going to have an impact on the overall economy and on the markets and on the real estate market. From what I understand is that refinancing was up significantly over the last couple of weeks because mortgage rates have come down, you know, a little bit. And I think that you're going to see a boom in refinancing coming up.
Sure. I mean, absolutely. And you know, and when you think about it, Doug, for the mortgage companies or the banks or who's ever lending mortgages, what an advertisement, right? The Fed cuts rates.
Yeah, well,
that's better than any commercial you could have.
But you got to realize something too, Mike, is that I was having this conversation with somebody in the mortgage business the other day. There's a loser on that side of the equation too.
Go ahead.
The current holder of the mortgage at 7%. You know, they paid money to issue that mortgage. And, you know, it's not, mortgages don't get issued for free. There's compensation that's in there that gets paid to the, you know, and then what happens is that when a mortgage gets written, very often it gets sold very quickly.
Yep.
And, you know, the company that buys it, if your mortgage doesn't stay on the books for several years, that could end up being a loser for the institution that bought it.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Well, it's true. It's a big business.
No, I understand that. I absolutely understand that. But, you know, in a lot of ways, too, though, you know, it's like saying when, you know, mortgages go the opposite way, they're big winners. So at the end of the day, it's a book of business. They know what they're doing. They got to have it all figured out, and they, you know, they got to roll with it. That's what their industry requires.
Yeah, but that has an impact on their earnings is the point at the end of the day. You know, it's not net sum, zero, you know, it doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. And, you know, but here's the thing. you're going to see a trend of this for some period of time right now. What are you laughing about? You're dismissing it as if it's a nothing. It's something. I'm telling you right now, it is something. Mark my words.
Yeah, because to me, though, Doug, I relate to it differently. I'm thinking about, okay, I know you're talking about mortgages tonight, but I'll take it to something we know something about. That's like saying an insurance company. That's like saying an insurance company writes a policy and somebody dies relatively quick, or health insurance. You know, somebody gets a brutal illness, and, you know. So, I mean, that's the nature of the beast. You know what I'm saying? There's many, many loans. It's, you know, it doesn't hit me the way it's hitting you.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. You know, I'm not being condescending or negative to you. Please don't take it that way. I'm just telling you, just, you know, kind of.
No, but insurance is different because insurance is a pool, right? That's the design and the structure of it. The mortgage business isn't designed like that.
Okay.
You'll see. Folks, mark this down. September 27th. We're going to come back to it. September 28th weekend, whatever it is here. We are going to come back and circle back, and Mike's going to say you were right.
Yeah.
All right.
You got it.
Yep. So, but in any event, that's what's going to happen. And now I really think that mortgage rates are going to continue to trend down over the next year or so. What about you?
Again, I think it's all going to be dictated what the Fed's thinking, and this certainly wasn't one and done. It doesn't feel that way. And, you know, so you would think there's going to be more action to come.
Yeah. So this is going to be, you know, an ongoing thing. Somebody told me, and I think we spoke about it on the radio a couple of months ago, where somebody told me they really didn't care about the mortgage that they were taking right now because they were only renting it.
Yeah.
It was a means to get me into the house. And I think rates are going down.
Hey, Doug, I've heard that from a year and a half, even 2 years ago. I heard people saying, younger people, the parent saying to me, my son, daughter bought a place, and the rate was, you know, 8 and change, but that's all right. We all know rates are going down over the next couple of years, so they're just going to refinance. They had to kind of hold their nose and take it.
Yeah.
You know, it's if you wanted the house, right?
That's a risky way to do it too, right?
Yeah.
You know, because if they didn't, if it just don't start to trend down, like, you're stuck with that.
Yeah.
So it's and it's going to be necessary, but that's going to be something as well as in addition to the cuts in interest rate. And where I was going with this entire little segment here is that that's going to produce more spendable income. Okay, when the mortgage payment goes down, most people, although what we would love to see people do is refinance down to a lower interest rate and keep making that same payment that you're making right now.
Yeah.
Right? That's going to retire your debt faster.
Sure.
So if it's a comfortable level of debt for you today, and you can refinance that interest obligation down but continue to make that payment, you're going to knock your mortgage off a lot faster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Doug, you know, it's another one. I mean, I know it's been down, but the other night, just stunned. Gas. Wow. I mean, this is the lowest it's been in a very long time, and it's like, you know, that's going to create more, you know, more money, because if you're a cash buyer at the pump and you had to pull out a $50 bill, maybe you're only pulling out a $40 bill now, and you got 10 extra to spend somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works.
It is how it works. And, you know, but one of the things about gas is we have to remember, too, is like if you look at the price of gas, if this oil supply hasn't changed for any reason, right, if OPEC hasn't increased their output, or if everything remains the same, which it pretty much has right now, and the price for oil is coming down, that's because they're predicting an economic slowdown. And what's interesting with this whole thing is that oil price coming down can help speed up the economic recovery.
Yeah.
Because to your point is now all of a sudden, if it's $10 extra in your pocket, it's $10 extra in your pocket. We know that. As Americans, nobody's going to go out and save that $10. They're going to spend it someplace else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've talked about this 1,000 times through the years. And, you know, it's just you have more money in your pocket, you know, to spend or to do less. It's less, you know, especially like I just said, the cash buyer, they really see the difference. You know, if you're buying on a credit card, okay, your bill's going to be a little bit less at the end of the month. It works its way through. But for a cash buyer, you got 10 extra bucks in your pocket at the end of the week.
Yeah, you do. And then the other piece of news that came out this week, Mike, which is it's bothersome in a lot of ways, is that our deficit is now at the highest level versus GDP since World War II.
And not stopping anytime soon, is my opinion.
Yeah, and that's a problem. That's a real, real problem because, you know, you look at economists and that especially ones that we like to pay attention to is they always like to look at the deficit versus, you know, the GDP. How is it versus the level of GDP? And they always said, you know, if it ran about, if the deficit went up but the GDP went up and the deficit stayed at like 60 or 70% of the GDP, okay, we're still in growth mode. But we're at 100% of the GDP right now. And that's, you know, that's something that they got to focus on a little bit here. They got to take care of it because you can't have the deficit exceed the GDP.
No. It's just the deficit, though, just keeps climbing and climbing year in and year out. And it's the world we live in. This is how it's just nuts, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's going to have to come home to roost at some point in time. Right. I mean, the debt's got to be paid. And listen, that's another reason why interest rates have to stay down.
Yeah.
Because the government has to service all this debt obligation that they have, and interest rates need to be lower because, obviously, if they're higher, they have to pay a higher, you know, coupon on the debt.
No, great point. Yeah, absolutely. Didn't I also see this week the GDP number came in pretty strong, or was I dreaming?
Yeah, it came in strong.
Was I dreaming that?
No, it came in. It came in strong, but that was the gist of, you know, the reporting out on the deficit versus the GDP, and it's thankfully, the GDP came in pretty strong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't, if we hit a weak spot, then we can have the deficit exceed the GDP, and we can't have that happen.
I'll tell you, though, Doug, overall, you know, I know we got hit with inflation and all that stuff and rates coming down, all that. But to me, I just feel like the economy's been the economy. I haven't seen massive change, and everybody's kind of complaining about prices. Yeah, I get it. But I don't feel people stopping or not doing or whatever. It just feels like that we've been on a constant roll here over the X amount of years. I mean, we've always gone through periods on this show, you know, dating all the way back over 25 years where, hey, you know, there's a lot of layoffs. People are looking for jobs. Things are brutal. But it just feels like, yeah, people are complaining. But, you know, we all complain about a lot of things. And it just feels like just keeps on rolling forward. It's just interesting. I still say when we go back somewhere along the line, it's going to be maybe 10 years after the fact, and economists go back and examine what took place during the pandemic, I think it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, well, that's what,
you know,
the
effect,
the
not what took place during the pandemic, the effects after of giving out all the free money and then the inflation and then, you know, just the whole process that we've been, I still feel like we're driving through the process, if that makes sense.
We are, at the and we're at the end of the story, I guess, if you will, for lack of it, when it's written at the end of the story. And here's the problem to what your point that you were saying. Consumer debt is piling back up again. And this is a problem, right? You know, when we've got to your point, Mike, you're right. People are still going out to dinner. They're still doing this. They're not really, you know, reining it in, but they're using their credit cards.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, right? So when we've got the deficit where it is, we've got the inflation, what happened there. And now there has to be a lifestyle adjustment, basically, at the end of the day, is what people have to do. But they haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Do I have a minute here? We run out of time?
Plenty of time.
Okay, yeah, that's one of the
Yep.
Don't you feel like all of our years of practicing and meeting new people and people calling in and sitting down and kind of taking their cases, we like to say, and find out, do you still see, to me, credit card debt is and always will be the number one killer of a financial situation. I mean, you know, all the stuff we see, we hear, you know, we saw houses go underwater, you know, mortgages go underwater, you know, just everything, all the stuff that you and I have been through, to me, you know, like, you know, the number one killer of somebody's financial life is credit card debt. I mean, you agree or am I missing, or can you think of something better?
No, I don't disagree with you. And it is very, very problematic. And the problem is, the minimum payment requirement.
You get on that hamster wheel. It's you're done.
Right. You know, because that's how people are thinking about this. Like, you know, okay, I got $25,000 worth of credit card debt, but, you know, it's $700 a month. I'm making up a number.
That's a great point. Let's talk about that for a second. So when people say, okay, I owe $10,000 on my credit card and the minimum payment's $353 a month to make up a fake number. It's staggering how much money you pay to pay back $10,000. But that's not only in credit cards, right? That's in, hey, Doug, we just bought this $500,000 home. our mortgage is $400,000. When you add it all up over 30 years, what did you pay? Or that beautiful $35,000 car you just bought that you're paying out over 5 years. Those numbers are staggering when yep. You know, you think, what'd you pay? $35,000. What'd you pay? $500,000.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you ever look at that sheet, and we've spoken about it. Back in the day, we used to talk about this a lot, right? Yeah. If you look at that closing document, that HUD document that you get right there, and all of a sudden you see loan borrowed, to your point, $400,000, and then you go over to the right and you see total payments, I don't know, $675,000, right? That's what you paid for your house.
Deal or no deal, you'll say no deal.
Yeah, right? 100%. But you know what one of the additional problems is now, Mike, is back in the day, and I'm going to be curious how this all shakes out, like you could, there was a benefit to the tax benefit to the mortgage interest, right? So now there's not really, because standard deduction has gone up, you know? So there was always an argument or a sales pitch or something by the mortgage person. But you're going to take that against your taxes. No, you're not anymore, right? Because for most people.
Yeah, and the only good thing about, like, in that scenario that we're talking about, at least the house at the end of the day, you have an asset at the end of 30 years,
right,
and hopefully it appreciated. I get that. The other end of the spectrum, the credit card debt, is just, that's just the bottomless pit. I mean, that's why I started this conversation, and you can kind of see, I guess we're talking about things that you can finance along the way. What destroys you and what's not as bad?
Well, Mike, to your point right there, you know, when you buy a home, right, there's a good possibility that it's an appreciating asset.
Yeah, of course.
When you use your credit card, there's either zero residual value on what you bought or it's a depreciating asset.
And by the way, too, you buy a home, hopefully you get family, they grow up, they're in the community, you know, education, a whole deal.
Right.
There's more residual value. That credit card, you can say, okay, I bought something important on the credit card, maybe, but a lot of it's junk and a waste and just frivolous spending.
You bet. You know, and it's emotional.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to, you got to watch that, folks. But, you know, unfortunately, there's no magic wand for people, you know, once you get yourself into that debt, you know, you got to figure it out. So, you know what, Mike, it's open enrollment time coming up for Medicare. So, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had, our friend Justin, Lebano on, and, he did a great piece on the Medicare, and it's really important. And actually, some people have called in and said, would you mind replaying that for us? So what we're going to do now is we're going to hop to a break. When we come back, we're going to replay that interview that we had with Justin, because it was really very good. And then we'll come back in and we'll close the show up, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show, and really excited. Got a great guest with us today. We've got Justin Lebanow with us, and he's from Senior Advisors, located up here in Union County in Cranford, New Jersey. And Justin is one of our really good resources and good friend of Wealth Management Group that helps us out with such a very, very important thing for you guys out there, and that is Medicare insurance. Because it's a very confusing thing. It's something you have to pay attention to. You can't ignore it. And, you know, having somebody whose family's been in this business for such a long time as Justin's has, and with the background and their experience, we're going to get so much information from him here today that, you know, I'm really excited. And Justin, thanks for joining us here on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. We appreciate the opportunity and look forward to the discussion today. So appreciate it.
So why don't you give people a little bit of a background better than I just did on Senior Advisors? I know that that it's a family business, been around for a long time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, we are family owned and operated. So it's my father's business, Doug Lumino. He's been in the insurance industry about 35 years. He started out in small group benefits. So we actually still have a separate business where we do some small group benefits. And as people started to age out of those groups and they turned 65, he never really had a solution for Medicare. He would tell these people, just call Blue Cross or call, you know, AARP and get your Medicare set up. And about 20 years ago, one of his close friends got him educated on Medicare. He started Senior Advisors, and it's actually become one of the largest general agencies in the Northeast for Medicare planning. And I say the Northeast, but we are licensed all over the country, so we can help folks all over the country. But we help folks get their, you know, go through the whole Medicare process, right? So, and that could be as simple as someone who's, you know, turning 65 and still working, and they just have questions, and it might not be the right time to sign up. Or someone who's, it is the right time, right? And we walk them through the whole process and get them the Medicare supplement or Medicare Advantage and prescription plan and kind of walk them through the entire process. We do have over 25,000 clients nationwide. That's a little bit of a background on Senior Advisors.
Yeah, no, it really is a great entity. And, you know, it's hard these days to find a good family, you know, family operated place. And, you know, that's one of the things that we particularly like at Wealth Management Group, being a family organization here as well, that, you know, we work well with Justin and his team over there. And, you know, Justin, you hit on a topic right there, you know, Medicare, which is what we're here to talk about, but the whole age 65 thing, this is the mystery for people out there. They don't know what to do. We get, as you know, we get calls into the office, our clients asking us about this, and we send them over to you guys. So why don't you touch, you know, a little bit here on what's expected for people when it comes to Medicare and what the requirements are, what you can do, what you can't do as far as enrolling?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of confusion out there for folks that are turning 65. And they get bombarded with marketing, mailers, they get phone calls, they get all kinds of some of it is non-compliant marketing, right? That's just and trying to get folks to get scared and call into some call center. Here's the reality. So for someone that's turning 65, if they have no other health insurance or they have an individual health insurance plan like the exchange or the Affordable Care Act plans, they do have to sign up for Medicare at 65. Those folks absolutely have to sign up. However, more and more people are working past the age of 65. And those folks are very confused. They're covered on an employer health plan, or they're covering an older spouse who's turning 65. And they think they have to do something with Medicare. The reality is, as long as the company has at least 20 employees and you're covered on the employer plan or your spouse is covered on that plan, you can stay covered on that plan as long as you continue to work. So you do not have to do anything with Medicare if you're working at that large company, you know, past the age of 65. Those folks, again, they get bombarded and think, oh, I got to do something. I'm going to be penalized. They're not going to be penalized. When they retire in the future, there's a couple of forms that they need to submit to Social Security. So there's, you know, that proves they had coverage, but there's no penalties for those folks. And they don't have to do anything with Medicare. Now, if they're in a group less than 20 employees, a small company, then Medicare becomes primary when they turn 65. So those folks do have to sign up at 65. But again, that's an increasing population of those folks that are all working past the age of 65.
Sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We see that on a regular basis. So are you telling me, because what we've heard out there is that, do you have to notify Medicare? Do you have to register for Medicare? Or you don't have to do anything related to Medicare before 65 or at 65 if you have other coverage?
If you have that, remember, it's a large employer. So I'm saying 20. Yes, exactly. So you're absolutely correct, Doug. So as long as you're covered on that large employer plan, and I say large, it only has to be 20 employees or more, you don't have to do anything with Medicare. Again, that's one of the misconceptions out there. I have to notify them. I have to do something. You don't have to do anything. Now, it's optional in that scenario. If you're going to stay covered on the group plan, let me just backstep 1 second. If you're covered on that group plan of a large company, we can help with a comparison. So those folks, you don't have to stay covered on the group plan, right? You may be paying a lot of money for poor coverage, and you may be able to save money on your premiums and get better coverage with Medicare. So that's something we can do is that comparison with cost and coverage to see, does it make sense to stay covered on the group plan or to go get Medicare? Okay. The other piece of this, if it does make sense to stay on the group plan, it's optional. If you want, you can sign up for the Part A of Medicare. Part A is the premium-free hospital benefit. It would essentially become like a secondary hospital benefit to your employer plan. It's probably never going to pay anything out in claims, All, what it does do, though, it gets you into the system, it gets you your Medicare card. It makes things a tiny bit easier in the future when you do retire and we go to do the Part B and the supplemental and so forth. But it's certainly not required to do that. And there is one downside. If you do enroll in the Part A and you stay covered on that employer plan, you can no longer contribute to an HSA health savings account.
Oh.
Okay. If you have a high deductible health plan with your employer plan and you're taking advantage of the HSA, which is a great tax break if you're contributing to the HSA, you actually can no longer contribute if you're enrolled in Part A of Medicare. So that's just the one downside to be aware of. If you're not in an HSA and you want to stay covered on that large group plan, you can certainly sign up for the Part A. Again, there's not a huge benefit of doing it, but at least it gets you in the system and gets your card.
Sure. Yeah, no, I understand that. And you know, that makes sense. And it may make sense for some people to do it, but I'll bet for most people it probably is something that they should just let go and then, you know, address it when they're no longer there. Hey, quick question for you. I don't want to get too deep into this because it popped into my head. What happens if you work for an employer that drops below the 20 employees while you're, let's say you're 66 years old and they had 25 employees, they scaled back, they got 19 now. And you're there. What do you got to do then?
Okay, so the way the we are going to get a little deep here because you asked the question. So the way the legislation is actually written, and this is these are called the Medicare secondary payer rules that determines which insurance is going to pay your claims first. Okay, so if you drop below that 20 number, the way that the language in the bill says, in either the proceed, you had to have at least 20 employees for at least 20 weeks. In either the preceding calendar year or the current calendar year. So
Okay.
it's worded that way to protect people so you're not having to make an immediate decision. As long as we happen to be having this conversation in August of 2024, but as let's say as long as in 2023 you had 20 employees for 20 weeks or more, you're covered for the entire year of 2024 without having, with Medicare as primary. I'm sorry, with the group plan as primary. So you don't have to sign up for Medicare in that case. You have that, you kind of have a 12-month runway, is kind of what this is getting at. So that, again, you're not having to make these knee-jerk reactions because you're going from 19 to 20 to 21 employees.
Okay, great. So let's say or we're there, I'm ready. I got to sign up for Medicare. What's the process? What goes on then?
Sure. So the process for signing up is going to be slightly different for someone who's just turning 65 versus someone who's worked past the age of 65. So, for instance, the person who's just turning 65 that wants to sign up, let's say they're already retired or they just have an individual plan, those folks can enroll directly on the Social Security website in their Part A and B. It takes about 5 or 10 minutes to do that. And they'll get their Medicare card in the mail about 3 to 4 weeks later. And once they have the Medicare card, then they have a decision to make whether they go with a Medicare supplement or a Medicare Advantage plan, which we help kind of walk them through their different options. They're two very different types of coverage. The Medicare supplement is just supplementing Medicare. So you still have your original Medicare A and B. Which covers like 80% of your medical expense. And then the supplement fills the gap and covers the other 20%, for example, versus those Advantage plans, which are the fully privatized plan where the insurance company takes over and fully manages your benefits for you. So they basically take over your hospital, your medical, your prescriptions, they bundle it all together and you become fully administered by, United or Aetna or whatever insurance company you sign up for. So, that's once you sign up for the A and B, you have to decide then which one of those paths do I take? And that's again, that's something we help with is kind of reviewing those options for each individual. And if you do go with the supplement, you also have to add a prescription plan, which is a standalone Part D prescription plan. So that's really someone turning 65. There's only, the only nuance for someone who's retiring after 65 is that first step in the process. So instead of enrolling online in the Part A and B, there's actually two forms that those folks need that are enrolling after age 65 because they have to have one form filled out by their employer. Which is the they call it the employment information, but it has dates of their employment, dates of their coverage with the employer, And basically, they drop that form off at Social Security to sign up for their Medicare after age 65. And that form is how they avoid any penalties or delays because they're enrolling after age 65. And then the other pieces are the same, right? They need a supplement or advantage plan, drug plan. But that first step is a little different, whether you're turning 65 or you're enrolling after age 65.
So after age, after age 65 with that form, is that something that you guys have? Can you help them with that form?
Absolutely. So our general process when someone reaches out, the initial phone call, we're doing some information gathering, right, to understand what their situation is. You know, if they're still covered on that employer plan and they're still working, you know, we help with a cost comparison and coverage comparison because it might not make sense to sign up for Medicare if they've got a good plan at a large employer. But if we get to that point where, yes, it's time, you know, Medicare makes sense for this individual, we walk them through all those steps. We also send out a summary email at the end of the call. So everything we go through on the phone call, they get in a bulleted list of steps, you know, next steps after the call. So in the case of what you just asked, after 65, we send those forms as part of that summary as well.
Right. And so, folks, just so you know, that's one of the reasons that we like to use Justin and Senior Advisors is because they help with the entire process. They make it easy for you guys because let's face it, we've never done this before. Like nobody's ever enrolled for Medicare before. It's not something you do. Oh yeah, I'm getting good at this enrolling for Medicare thing, right? It's something that you only do once in your lifetime. So, you know, Mike and I, when we do the show, we talk a lot about who, not how, right? And in other words, you know, it's a matter of in your life, who should you turn to? And a lot of times not trying to figure out how to do it, right? Because there's a lot of hours invested a lot of times in trying to figure out how. So there's a lot less time if we figure out who to turn to. And that's where we're at here with this. So let me ask you a question between the supplement and the advantage. Are they the same? Is the coverage the same, but one is through the government and the other one is through a private insurer?
Yeah, good question, Doug. And actually, this is when we talk about the top mistakes people make on Medicare. We have a guide on the top five mistakes that people make. And this is the third biggest mistake we see people make on Medicare is not really understanding the difference between Medicare supplements and Medicare Advantage. They're two very different types of coverage. So the way the supplement, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I'll go a little bit deeper here. So the way the supplements work, you're getting the supplement from a private insurance company. So when you buy that supplement, you're still getting that from a United or Aetna or Cigna or Mutual. We work with all the A-rated companies, by the way, so we can help with any one of those carriers. But basically, all it is really a glorified secondary payer. So when you go with the Medicare supplement and you can go to any doctor or hospital in the country that takes Medicare, which is pretty much every hospital in the country, and about 99% of doctors accept Medicare. You don't need referrals to see a specialist, and the coverage is guaranteed renewable for life. So when you get that Medicare supplement, you can keep that coverage for the rest of your life. The most popular supplement that's out there is called a Plan G Medicare supplement. Roughly about 70 to 80% of beneficiaries that are buying supplements are going with that Plan G. So that's by far, for the folks that are getting a supplement, the more popular plan. And the Plan G, the only out-of-pocket expense the person has is the Part B deductible, which this year is $240. So basically, their first couple of doctor's appointments, they're getting bills up to that $240. And then that's it. The rest of the year, Medicare pays 80%. And the Plan G pays the other 20%. So there are no co-pays. There's no co-insurance. They go in the hospital. They don't pay a dime. If they have surgery, chemo, kidney dialysis, whatever, they're 100% covered after they've met that small deductible for the year. So that's how the supplements work. Great coverage, great flexibility with providers. You don't have to deal with prior authorizations, pre-approvals, and so forth. Okay. Medicare Advantage plans. That's the other option at a high level. Again, that's the fully privatized plan. So if you sign up for an Advantage plan, you're basically signing over your Medicare rights or coverage to the insurance company to fully manage for you. So it becomes like managed care. Most of those Advantage plans are going to be like HMO type plans where you have to go to certain doctors and hospitals within a particular network. Those plans also have up to $8,850 per year in out-of-pocket costs. So if you get sick on those Advantage plans, you have copays for doctors, specialists. If you go in the hospital, it's a few hundred dollars per day in the hospital. If you have any of those expensive things like chemotherapy or kidney dialysis, you pay 20% up to that $8,800 per year on those Advantage plans. And it's also managed care with the Advantage plan. So that means if you need an X-ray or MRI or test, you may have to get prior authorization or pre-approval from the insurance company before you can get that test scheduled. So there are two very different types of coverage. And on top of that, it's basically a lifetime decision. So when someone enrolls in Medicare for the first time, and this applies to most states, including New Jersey, but not all states. But when they apply for Medicare the first time, they get a six-month Medicare supplement open enrollment period, which means they can get any Medicare supplement they want with no medical questions. Okay. However, after that six-month period, if they want to get into a Medicare supplement or even switch a Medicare supplement, they have to go through medical underwriting. So each carrier has about 10 to 12 different knockout questions. And if any one of those is a yes, you can't even submit an application for a supplement. So what we tell folks is when you're going on Medicare, if you like the path of a supplement, that's really the time to get one, because there's no guarantee in the future that you're going to be able to get a Medicare supplement. Now, I'm going to put an asterisk on this because I know you work outside of just New Jersey. The state of New York and the state of Connecticut do not have any medical underwriting. So those are two exceptions. Unlike the pretty much, you know, most of the rest of the country where that rule is going to apply. But I just want to caveat, New York and Connecticut do not currently have any of that underwriting.
Okay, that's great. So it sounds to me on the surface that the Advantage plan is inferior and more expensive. Is that a fair or is it a more of a case by case scenario?
Yeah, so I'll tell you this, Doug. So our business, we're about 90% supplement, about 10% Advantage. So for all the reasons I mentioned, right, the supplement's going to give you all that flexibility with providers. You're not going to get the same flexibility with Advantage plans. You're going to have very low out-of-pocket costs. So if you do get sick on the supplement, you know, you're going to have very little, you know, $240 with that G versus up to $8,000 on the Advantage plans. I want to clarify, though, the premium, so the monthly amount you pay for the insurance with a supplement, and it's going to vary based upon age, zip code, male, female, and so forth. I'll give you rough numbers just for folks listening. You know, in New Jersey at 65, that Plan G for a male, you know, might be about $150 to $160 a month, depending on the carrier. Female, about $20 a month less for that Plan G. Now, those Advantage plans, you can actually get a zero premium Medicare Advantage plan. And the majority of people that are going with those Advantage plans are going after that zero premium. That's what's attracting, you know, it's like, oh, it's insurance, right? I don't have to pay anything monthly for it, but you are going to have the potential exposure for your costs if you get sick, and also the restrictions on your network and the managed care aspects of those Advantage plans. So
can you switch if you had an Advantage plan? Can you go over to a supplement? And do you have to do that? Is that where in some states it'll be subject to medical underwriting?
You got it. Yeah. So that's why I mentioned that earlier. And that's why we say it's a lifetime decision. So, you know, if you go to an Advantage plan for a couple of years, then you decide, you know, and unfortunately we get those calls from people, right? They're not our clients, right? But they decided, you know, they went with an Advantage plan. They call us up 2 years later and, you know, they were diagnosed with cancer and they want to go to Sloan Kettering, for example, and they won't take their Advantage plan at Sloan Kettering. So they want to go back to original Medicare and get a supplement. Well, they're not going to be able to get a supplement because of the underwriting. At that point, they would have to go through the underwriting. And unfortunately, that is one of the questions that they're going to ask on the underwriting. You know, do you have cancer, you know, currently or in the last 2 years? You know, cancer is actually on those knockout questions, it's a time-based question. So some of them are, if you've ever had, you know, Parkinson's, for example, kind of a chronic condition that doesn't go away. Cancer is really a 2 to 3 year look back, depending on the carrier. So as long as you're cleared, you know, over 2 years or 3 years, a lot of the carriers will still accept you. But if you currently have the condition, you're not going to be able to submit an application for the supplement.
Are those yes or no questions? In other words, will they underwrite it to the point where they'll go and they'll get doctor's records to take a look at it, or is it just a simple yes or no on the application?
Yeah, good question. So much simpler underwriting than life insurance, long-term care, you know, those things where you've got like physical exams and, and you know, more follow-up. Medicare supplement, if they can answer no to these 12, roughly, again, it varies based on the carrier, but roughly 12 questions, about 90 to 95% are going to get approved. Some of them, they have to do a phone interview. There's no medical exam, you know, but and they rarely go after additional you know, doctor follow-up. It's really, they're doing, by the way, they are querying, you know, the medical information database, right, to see prescriptions and so forth. That's part of what they're signing, the policyholder signing off on with the application, that the carrier can do that. But outside of those questions and that database lookup, it's, you know, 90%, 95% will get approved if they can answer no to those questions. And it happens within a week normally. So it's a pretty straightforward process if they can answer no to those questions.
Right. Hey, Justin, you mentioned before that you have a list of mistakes that five mistakes that are, you know, most common. Can you just brush over those real quick? And then do you also have that in some sort of format that if our listeners want to have a copy of that, we can send that out to them so that they can try to avoid those mistakes?
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. So we do have a guide on the top five mistakes people make on Medicare. And we can absolutely send that out to folks if they're interested in that. We can, you know, you can mail out the guide to those folks that are interested. And I'll just summarize those briefly here. Those top five mistakes. So the first biggest mistake we see people make is not enrolling in Medicare Part B on time. Okay, so we talked a little bit about this earlier, but really there's two sides to enrolling in Part B on time. So one is someone who, let's say they don't have employer coverage, right? They're on an individual plan or they have no coverage and they decide they're just not going to enroll at 65. Those are the folks that are going to pay those penalties and have delays in their Medicare in the future. So that's one side of this mistake. But the other side is also true. So we have folks that are working past the age of 65. They call us up at age 70 and they've been covered on a large group health plan for five years past 65. And they enrolled in Part B at 65, and they've been paying the government the Part B premiums. A lot of these folks have income adjustments or higher earners, so they're paying a lot more to the government for 5 years when they didn't have to have it because they were covered on that large group plan. So that mistake of not enrolling in Part B on time can be either too early or too late when those folks enroll. So that's kind of the first biggest mistake. The second biggest mistake we see people make is not analyzing their prescription drug costs. So when you first go on Medicare, we recommend there's a tool on Medicare's website. It's called the Medicare Plan Finder, and it's a great tool. It looks at all the different prescription plan options that are available for you, and all you have to put in is your zip code, your drug information, and your preferred pharmacies, basically. And the tool does all the calculations for you, and it basically shows you which is going to be the most cost-effective drug plan based upon total cost for the year, which is premium plus the cost of your medications. So that's what we use for all of our clients. If folks want to do that on their own, it's a great tool to be able to analyze those drug costs. But a lot of folks don't look at that, and they just pick a plan based upon, you know, whatever marketing ad they saw or whatever with the drug coverage. Also, with the drug coverage, you can change that every year. So October 15th to December 7th is the annual enrollment period. That's the only opportunity to change your drug plan for the following year. And even if your drug list doesn't change, those drug plans do change every year. So we recommend folks review their plan every year. For all of our clients, we send out reminders in September to get their latest drug list. And we rerun the drug analysis to make sure they have the right drug plan for the following year. So that's the second biggest mistake, is not analyzing your drug costs. The third biggest mistake, we already touched on this, really, is the not understanding the differences between Medicare Advantage and Medicare supplements, two very different types of coverage, which we touched on earlier and went through some of those key differences. The fourth biggest mistake we see people make is basically thinking that their current state of health is going to continue indefinitely, right? So what I mean by that is they're making a decision at 65 or 68 when they first enroll in Medicare because they're currently healthy, right? And this is why I mentioned earlier, this is basically a lifetime decision. When you go to enroll, if you want that Medicare supplement, which we talked about, You can guarantee to get the supplement right when you first enroll, but you may not be able to get one in the future if you go with a different type of plan. So that's kind of the fourth biggest mistake is thinking they're always going to be in the same state of health or be healthy. And the fifth biggest mistake is listening to your friends and family. And we joke about that, but it happens all the time. I mean, we get phone calls from people and they say, I want this plan let's say it's a drug plan. And then we started asking, because my neighbor has it, my wife has it, my cousin has it. Well, Medicare is all individual coverage. So you really want to make sure you're picking the right plans based upon your specific situation, especially with something like the drug plan, where, if you're not taking the exact same medications as someone else, it might not be the best drug plan for you, if that's the plan that's working for them. So those at a high level is kind of the top five mistakes we see.
Number five is a mistake for every area of people's lives. Especially in the financial, like Mike and I talk about it, we call it water cooler advice all the time. And it's like, please don't do that. Everybody's the same, but everybody's different, right? There's no doubt about it, and we say that, people have very common objectives in life, but very different paths that need to be followed for those objectives. So you have that, we can send out that, that guide to our listeners. Folks, if you'd like a copy of that guide, pick the phone up and give a call. The number is 855-262-3722. That number again is 855-262-3722. We'll get you the Medicare guide out there of the five mistakes to try to avoid. And Justin, as we come to a wrap up here on the segment here, what other things that, can you guys offer out to people that they should maybe take advantage of and reach out to you and just give people your direct contact number and that kind of information as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of things I'll touch on. So what we didn't really touch on, a lot of our clients tend to be sometimes higher income earners. The big cost drivers with Medicare are called IRMAs, or income related monthly adjustment amounts. And when we're talking to someone at the beginning of the process and we're doing that, maybe it's someone working past the age of 65, and we're doing that cost comparison. That's a big input, is we have to find out, what's your joint income or if you're a single filer, what your income is, to help estimate out your projected cost with Medicare. The range for this year, for 24, the base Part B premium is like $175 a month, but the top income bracket is almost $700 a month. It's a $675 a month when you add in all those income adjustments. So it's going to vary. And there's four or five different income brackets in between there. And we help folks understand what's my projected cost going to be. The other side of that IRMA is most folks that are enrolling in Medicare are retiring, right? So maybe their income is going to be dropping and it's no longer going to be in that same income tier. And there's an appeals process for these IRMAs, which we walk folks through if they're going to be their income is going to be reducing due to that life event or work stoppage. And it's pretty straightforward. There's a form, it's called SSA 44, which is the appeal form, where you basically just check off your work stoppage, your date of your work stoppage, and you put your projected income for the current year. And you submit that to Social Security, and they just kind of take your word for it. And they will reduce those IRMAs back down to the correct level. But that's something we review on those calls, and we go through that with folks. We send them the form as well and explain how to fill that out and submit it. But that's just something else we didn't get to till this point. So I wanted to mention that.
Yeah. So let me keep the conversation going a little bit on that. Mike and I have been talking about that to the listeners a lot lately because, and this is where the benefit of working together with us and us working with Justin can really come into play, because what's hitting a lot of people. That's going to hit a lot of people this year, started last year. They're actually getting interest on their savings now. And that interest that's getting on their savings, somebody who had, let's just say $200,000 in the bank 2 years ago was lucky to make $2,000 of interest on that in a year. Lucky. Now that same person's going to make $8,000 of interest, $10,000 of interest. That's going to potentially have a negative impact on their Medicare premiums because of the IRMAs.
It's a great point, Doug. I can attest to that myself. I mean, interest rates, I think I used to get less than 1% for sure.
Right.
And now, 5% is pretty, possible. So that's a great point. So that's something that will factor in to your AGI or adjusted gross income, which factors into their IRMA. Sure.
Yep. Yeah, Mike and I just had a conversation with a client about this, and you know, we're looking at the whole circumstance, and we were looking at some, you know, some ways to position dollars to maybe have the interest be deferred or avoid going on to that tax return on a, you know, on a given year, because it's funds that they're not using and they're just sitting there, and it could have a negative impact. And in this circumstance that I was, you know, that I was speaking to somebody about, it was going to have about $100 a month of additional, you know, Medicare premiums. So, you know, that's, you know, that's real dollars, you know, that you're talking about there.
Yep. No, it's a great point, and something to consider when planning out. You know, the other interesting thing with these IRMAs is it's basically a two-year look back, right? Because the last tax the government's doing the best they can to determine this, because they're using the last tax return that they have. But you know, right now we're in the middle of 2024. Some people haven't even submitted their 2023 return yet, right? So the government's using 2022's tax return to determine your 2024 premiums and IRMAs. And then at the end of this year, they're going to use your 2023 return to determine your 2025 premiums and IRMAs.
Right.
So this is always going to be 2 years looking back, which is, again, why that we talked about that appeal form. If you're not going to be making that income because of that life event, the work stoppage or work reduction, that's when you can appeal those. So you don't have to pay for 2 years before it gets caught up. But yeah, that's just another thing I wanted to mention with the IRMAs. You asked, you know, just a little bit more about us and reaching out to us at Senior Advisors. Our office line in our Cranford office is 908-272-1970. Again, 908-272-1970. So folks can certainly reach out to us if they have any sort of Medicare question, or if they want help going through the process, getting quotes on plans, reviewing their current coverage. We're here to help. Very important point here, just a little bit about our model. There's no fee for you to work with us. So you can absolutely reach out to us. We're happy to answer all those questions. We do get compensated by the insurance company if we help you enroll in a plan. And you pay the same premium whether you go directly to the insurance company or if you work with a broker like Senior Advisors. So there's really no cost to you, and we're not captive to a particular insurance company. We work with all the A-rated companies, so we can help, you know, regardless of, you know, which is the best plan for your situation. We can help you enroll in that plan. The last thing I'm going to mention is I do have a team here, so it's not just me. If my calendar does tend to get booked out a couple of weeks sometimes, but I have an all-star team. They've all gone through. They've been a combined over 12 years between the three other guys on my team. You got Bob Riley, Rod Spann, and Nick Drenick. They all do a fabulous job. They've gone through all the training and certification through our office and follow the same process. And you can be confident if you get, you know, you call in and one of those guys may be more available than me as far as my schedule goes. And you can feel very confident they can also help walk through the process.
I can attest to the fact that they have helped other of our clients. And it's one of the things, you know, we're very, very hesitant at Wealth Management Group, who we decide we're going to start to do business with and that kind of stuff. And then more importantly, to bring you onto our radio program where there's tens of thousands of people listening, you know, on a regular basis. So folks, we've worked with Justin and his team. His team is top notch, you know, second to none. So, you know, if you want to reach out to him directly, we'd love to send you out that guide. Let us get you that guide out into your hands. And reminder, pick the phone up and give a call. It's 855-262-3722. That number again is 855-262-3722. You're coming up to the open enrollment period for Medicare. So this is like an important time for you to start to address this stuff. And it's very timely. And that's why we picked around this time to have Justin come on, and we'll probably play this segment of the show for you guys a couple of more times this year going into the open enrollment period, because like you only have a small window of time to address this very, very important issue in your life.
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. And you bring up open enrollment. I just want to bring up one other change coming for this year. It's a big change that folks should be aware of for 2025. And it's from the bill was called the Inflation Reduction Act from 2022. And it changed how the Part D prescription program is going to work with Medicare in several ways. But the big change coming up for 2025 is that there will be a cap on your out-of-pocket expenses for drug costs of $2,000. So that cap did not really exist prior to this upcoming year, and that will be in place for 2025. Some of the good intentions there, I think, to kind of reduce drug costs for folks. Some of the potential unintended consequences of that, and we haven't seen these premiums come out yet. It's only August of 24, but the expectation is that it's got to be paid for, right? So, you know, there was a lot of rumblings that there were going to be significant premium increases for these Part D drug plans to offset that risk they have to take on with the drug costs. And actually, on July 29th, CMS, which is Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, announced this voluntary premium stabilization program that the Part D carriers are able to basically voluntary for. And essentially, all it is a government additional government subsidy from the government to the carriers to help keep the premiums down. Right. So, ironically, you know, this bill, which was called the Inflation Reduction Act, right, reducing drug costs by, you know, there's only about 2.5% of Medicare beneficiaries, by the way, that are going to benefit from that cap. And it's going to be, you know, for those folks, it's a good story, right? They're going to be capped at the $2,000. But, you know, someone's got to pay for it. And the government adding all these additional subsidies is basically going to drive up tax and drive up, you know, potentially inflation, which is just, you know, a little bit of a side topic, but it's ironic as well.
Yeah. Well, hey, Justin, thanks for taking some time here with us. The information was phenomenal, folks. I know, and we know that this is a topic that's on your mind. You ask us about it all the time. So Justin, with the senior advisors in Cranford, New Jersey, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show here with us. And folks, don't hesitate to reach out to them. And just a quick reminder, if you'd like the guide, the five mistakes that people make with Medicare, please pick the phone up and give a call, 855-262-3722. Give us your name and your number, and we'll get back to you, grab your address, and we'll get everything out to you. Justin, thanks a bunch, buddy.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it. Great chat.
All right.
At Wealth Management Group, we will guide you through a one-hour informative experience where you will walk out with a better understanding of your current financial situation, a strategy or plan that you may not have had before, and a feeling of confidence that you have taken a step toward your goals and freedom from wondering, all by investing just an hour of your time. Many people who have gone through our process have realized a sense of ease and clarity like they may not have had before. At Wealth Management Group, we have a process that provides individual financial programs customized for each client because you are not all the same and should have your own strategy, not a strategy that is the same as 1,000 other people. We have offices in Clark, Parsippany, Martinsville, and Toms River to suit your needs. We observe and respect all protocols in order to keep everyone safe and healthy. Or if you wish, we can have our meeting on the phone or video. So we invite you to invest an hour of your time to go through our informational experience with no cost or obligation to the listeners of this show and come out after with something you didn't have before. The first step is simple. Just give us a call now at 855-262-3722 to get a date on our schedule. That number again is 855-262-3722 to take the initial step toward a sound financial future. Once again, that's 855-262-3722. We look forward to your call. The preceding program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in financial services commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. Join us again next week at the same time for your financial future.